Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Man, if I haven't met you yet, my name's Cherie. I'm one of the pastors here, and I love Hope City a whole lot, and I love seeing all of your faces this morning. We've been in a sermon series called Foundations, and it started right around the second week of September, which happens to be our birthday here at Hope City. We launched this church 4 years ago, and I was thinking, even as I was writing this sermon this week, I was thinking about the preparation process that went into planting a church. You all started coming in 2020, but we all were working on Hope City far before that. And some of the questions that we would bring to the table were things like, what's Hope City culture going to be like? When people come to Hope City, what are they going to experience? When people come to Hope City, what are they not going to experience? And we, you know, started praying and we started discussing and we kind of like laid out what we wanted Hope City culture to look like. And then we brought it to our launch team. And we were like, this is what Hope City is all about. And now it's been 4 years. And there's so many people that are in the room today who did not get to experience us bringing you together and saying, this is Hope City culture. You got to experience Hope City culture a different way. And that was through the people who have carried it out, right? Through the people who have caught the vision of what Hope City is and continue to demonstrate it week after week after week. We decided that this year we wanted to extend our Foundations sermon series out a little bit longer so that we could touch on a few of the things that are near and dear to Hope City culture. And so we started this sermon series with our mission and our vision. Hope City is a church that loves God and loves people. Hope City is a place where people can feel fully loved, safe to heal, and equipped to make a difference. And then we've started touching on some culture aspects. And today I get to bring you one of my most favorite messages that has to do with Hope City culture. This message is called Roofs and Skylights. And we're going to dive into a single word. We're going to zoom in on a single word in a single passage of Scripture. And we're going to spend our whole time there today. The word comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I like to call 1 Corinthians chapter 13 the love chapter, because it really does define what love genuinely looks like. And we could have easily a whole sermon series just out of the first 7 verses of 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to do that today. We're gonna zoom in on a single word. So let's go ahead and read this. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If we're going to be a church that loves God and loves people, I think we better learn how to love people well, don't you think? I think we better learn what it looks like to love well. Today, the word that we're going to zoom in on is not love. in case you were thinking that it was going to be that. The word that we're going to zoom in on comes from that sentence that says, love bears all things. That word bears there in the Greek, which is the language that it was originally written in, is stego. Stego means to, it literally means a roof over or to cover in silence. Love covers in silence. To love people is to cover them in silence. When people open up to you, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to guard them. You have an opportunity to protect them. You have an opportunity to stand side by side with them. One of the most beautiful examples we see comes from in scripture of this. It comes from Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25. And Jesus is among a crowd of people. And while he's in that crowd of people, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She'd heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if only I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my robe? His disciples looked at him like he was crazy. And they said, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Here's the thing about this situation, given the time frame that it happened in. Back in this day, if you were unwell, or they called it unclean, in any way, you were not allowed to be in a crowd. They didn't want your cooties. In fact, they had convinced each other and themselves that no matter what it was, if we could see it, if you were unclean, you need to stay away from us. And it had become a cultural norm. So much so that it was perfectly permissible if someone did come into a crowd while they were unclean, they could be stoned right there. Everyone knew this. And yet this woman was so desperate for Jesus that she said, I'm going to risk it all because if I can just touch him, I know I'll be saved. I know I'll be clean. Jesus was so gentle in this moment. And he didn't say, hey, everyone, this woman here, she's actually unclean, but she's not anymore because I healed her. He didn't say, hey, gather around. I want to tell you about this woman and what just happened to her. He didn't say, she's been bleeding for 12 years. He didn't say, she's seen every doctor around. What did he say? Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Jesus, in this intense moment, where this woman could easily be stoned for what she has done, Jesus decides to cover her in silence. He decides to be a roof over her. He decides to protect her, to stand next to her, to love her. Here's an analogy that originally came from Pastor Judah Smith in one of his books. But the analogy is this idea of roofs with skylights. So if we are to be a roof over someone, a roof provides shelter. It provides protection from the elements. It provides a space for someone to get out of whatever they are in. If you are under a roof, nothing is able to, one, see in, and two, get you, right? So the analogy looks like this. This is a person. And when they open up to you, when they share something with you, you quite literally become a roof over them, a way to shield and protect. To love them means to be a roof over them. To love them is to protect the information that they have shared, to pray for them, to check on them. But here's what a skylight looks like. I can see right into that house. A skylight is to provide a window into someone's house that was never meant to be there. A skylight sounds like this. We really need to be praying for so-and-so. I checked in on them last week. They told me about some struggles that they're having. And let me just say, it's not good. Can I go there for a second? Are you guys going to let me go there for just a minute? Okay. If your prayer circles, if your prayer chains sound like that, it's not a prayer chain, it's a gossip chain. It's not a prayer chain, it's a gossip circle. You're not providing somebody access to Jesus. You're sinning. Whoa. You need to stop. It's wrong. Skylights sound like this. Well, based on what I know about the situation. Skylights sound like this. Well, have you heard? Did you hear what happened? Just be quiet. Take it to Jesus. If that person wanted other people to know, they would have told them. But they didn't. They told you. And now your job, in order to love them and protect them and put a shield over them, is to be quiet. We are called to be roofs without skylights. A roof is meant to shield and protect, provide safety. And if someone entrusted you with information, it is not your job to allow light into their house. To cover in silence means that we're going to guard this person. We're going to guard them from the opinions and the judgment and the gossip of people who were never intended to have that information in the first place. Now, I want to be clear about something really quick. To cover in silence does not mean to sit idly by when someone opens up to you about being a harm to themselves or to someone else, or has the potential to be a harm to themselves or someone else. You should always speak up in those situations. Here's your heart check. What's the purpose of me speaking up? Because who you should not be speaking up to is your friend circle. If you want to love this person well, then you speak up to somebody who has the ability to actually help them. You take it to a professional, not to your gossip circle. If we're going to be roofs without skylights, then we have to learn what it takes to cover people well. To bear good fruit is to cover in silence. We've been talking all year about the idea of bearing good fruit. Good fruit looks like loving people well. Good fruit is the ability for people to be able to trust you with information, with struggles, with things that they're going through, and know that you're going to take it to God in prayer and take it to nowhere else. Now, I know all too well that this is not a lesson that is taught very often. Especially outside the church, we're taught the opposite, right? It's a free-for-all out there. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. But I'm also very aware that this isn't something we talk about in church very often either. And we need to. I've had people tell me, Pastor Cherie, I've been in church 30 years and no one ever taught me this. And in that moment, it's really easy for guilt and shame to creep in. For you to start hearing that voice that says, see, you failed. See, you don't really love Jesus. Look at the way you treat people. You don't even know how to love people well. That's not what this is about. This message today is good news. And here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus never intended for you to come into relationship with him and then from that moment on, live a perfect life. That was never his intention. He never thought that that would happen. You're the only one that's been convincing yourself that that's true. What God intended was this word that we hear in church all the time, but do we really know what it means? The word is sanctification. We're going to learn about sanctification today. Sanctification is the ongoing supernatural work of God to rescue justified sinners from the disease of sin and to conform them to the image of his son, holy, Christ-like, and empowered to do good works. Sanctification is the process of you taking step by step by step forward in the direction of Jesus, becoming more and more like him each day. That's what God had in mind. He never said, okay, you're a Christ follower now. Now you're perfect. This is what he had in mind. He said, I know it's going to be a process. I want you to pay attention to those words that I highlighted. Ongoing. Work of God. Conform. I read a really great analogy this week from Martin Luther on the concept of sanctification. He wrote this, fun fact, in 1515. He said, it's like the case of a man who is ill, who trusts the doctor, who promises him a certain recovery, and in the meantime, obeys the doctor's instructions, abstaining from what has been forbidden to him in the hope of the promised recovery. so that he does not do anything to hinder this promised recovery. Now, this man who is ill, is he healthy? The fact is that he is a man who is both ill and healthy at the same time. As a matter of fact, he is ill, but he is healthy on account of the certain promise of the doctor, who trusts and who reckons him as healthy already because he is sure that he will cure him. Indeed, he has already begun to cure him and no longer regards him as having a terminal illness. Remember those words that I told you to hang on to? Sanctification means that you are on the road to wellness. That the disease of sin is having less and less and less impact on you every time that you take a step forward. Romans 6, starting in verse 20, talks about this exact thing. It says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. You had no obligation to do what was right. And what was the result? The ESV, I had to throw this in here. The ESV says, what was the fruit? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. Things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do the things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Remember those words that I told you to hang on to? Listen to this. To bear good fruit is an ongoing process that is a work of God to conform you into the image of Jesus. To bear good fruit is to walk out sanctification. To bear good fruit is to recognize when there's something on you that is bearing bad fruit, to cut it off and to allow new growth to happen. That's sanctification. So you have an opportunity today. That means this starts today. God is in the process of sanctifying this area of you today. You have an opportunity to respond to the promptings of Holy Spirit today. And you might be in this room and you might be thinking, well, Pastor Cherie, I'm still back at Romans 6. I'm still back at the very first sentence of Romans 6 that says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. I've been under no obligation to do right. In fact, I've been doing anything but right. I've been doing things my own way. Kind of like that song says that we sang earlier. I've been living my own truth. I've been doing whatever makes me feel good. Here's the thing. That sanctification word, that's step one. It has a step one. Step one is saying, I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I'm ready to live for you, God. That's step one of sanctification. And then there's a step two, and there's a step three, and there's a step four. And the steps never stop. And every single follower of Jesus that's in this room today is on some step of sanctification. They're on their way. to becoming more like Jesus. And not one single person in this room has arrived. If you're in this room today and you want to take that step one, you want to say, I'm tired of living for myself and I'm ready to live for Jesus.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.